Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Life Coach Radio Network. You're listening to Danielle Mercurio at New You City Chat. I am hosting live today from Hilton Head Island, and I want to first of all thank the Marriott Facilities where we are staying for letting me use their business room today. For those of you that follow me on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook, you'll see I posted a little picture of where I am right now. There's some really cool funky blue chairs, which I really like, and it's a pretty cool atmosphere to do the show in. So as you all may also know, the last show I had a little bit of a technical difficulty, and when I say that, I mean I muted the whole show. So today I want to especially make sure that everyone can hear me. So if you happen to be in our chat room or able to send me a tweet or some kind of message to let me know that you can hear me loud and clear, it would be greatly, greatly appreciated. The chat room is available if you're actually on our Blog Talk Radio site on the link that you went to go to my show today. If you scroll on down towards the bottom, you'll see a chat room. If you have Flash, it should prompt it automatically and should let you know that you're actually in the chat room. It's completely anonymous. So if someone wants to give me a little, hey, we can hear you, or hey, Danielle, you sound great, that would be much appreciated so that I'm not making the same error again because I would be devastated. So thank you so much. And also, just on that note, I want to just say, you know, speak up throughout the show as well. If for some reason you notice that maybe I tune out, I am on an island right now, so therefore not trying to brag, but I am on an island, and therefore reception may be a little bit in and out. So throughout the show, if you notice, hey, I'm not hearing Danielle right now, just let me know, and so that way I can feel secure and make sure that I am broadcasting to everyone properly. So again, thank you very much. Okay, again, on tonight's show, this is the next episode of New You City Chat. My name is Danielle Mercurio, and I am the founder of New You City Coaching, where I'm a personal life coach that works with individuals that happen to live in a city and are looking for that balance amongst the chaos, and also just looking to try to find themselves and be their most hottest, confident self in the process. And the focus of my shows here on Life Coach Radio Network are to help you see what kind of blocks that are being presented in your life and how we can help remove them from where you are now to get you to where you want to be. And so far, we've discussed ideas surrounding building our own self-confidence as well as around protecting ourselves from the people or places in our life that are known as energy vampires that may somewhat drain our energy, if you will. We've also talked about some of the ideas of how we can tap into the present moment and learn how to find our own self-purpose. And these are the ideas that we're going to continue to build upon and explore throughout our upcoming New You City chat. So tonight I want to talk a little bit about the idea of feeling drained. We're going to talk about this toxic energy that we consume when we worry so much about what other people think of us. And I've mentioned this on a previous show, and it's a phrase that I've kind of become obsessed with. And what that is what other people think of you is none of your business. And it is so true and so powerful. So often we go off on these tangents in our heads, wondering how we present ourselves to the rest of the world. And while that's clearly important, it also doesn't carry as much weight as we need it to. So I think it's something that we really need to shift our focus from, and why I want to make it one of our main conversation points for this evening's talk. And again, this was actually the topic that I had originally discussed back on our last show. However, since the technical error, we're going to be doing take two. So it's going to be even better and more exciting than ever. So back to the concept of what other people think of you is none of our business. We tend to focus so heavily on what other people think of us that is driving us away from our own wants, our own desires, and establishing our own purpose that we have in life. We start to worry more about pleasing the other people as opposed to pleasing ourselves and seeing what it is that we really want or what we really want to do, what we really want to be. You know, when we wake up in the morning, is it what we want or is it what we think we want? It's finding that difference between who we are and who they are. And by they, I mean the society and sometimes how that can drive us into a certain area of our life where we don't really want to be. Have you ever felt at times that all eyes are on you, that like everyone's just kind of watching you, staring, either waiting for you to fail or waiting for you to mess up again, or really just kind of disappoint them and be like, oh, there they go again, off to their same old antics? It's a really heavy feeling, and I know that it's something that can feel really challenging and disrupting at times. However, it's something we face on a regular basis, unfortunately. And because of that, it often creates this unique sense of fear, and our mind starts to play these crazy tricks on us. So instead of thinking about what we want to do, and when I say want, I'm really emphasizing that word here, we focus or think about what we should do instead. So instead of wanting something, we're shoulding something. And we are shooting ourselves to death. So when we live our lives on the terms of should versus want, things get a little bit screwy. This is where we get confused, or we get unhappy, or we start looking for answers not within ourselves, but instead maybe within our surroundings. We start looking around, seeing what other people are doing. We start questioning our past or our routines. We start judging what other people are saying and wondering if that's something that we need for ourselves in our lives to bring us our happiness. We start to ask people for their advice. And again, sometimes what's valid for one person may not be valid for us. And when we put all of our thoughts and our beliefs upon this other person's advice, again, it messes with our own internal system of who we're supposed to be and who we're supposed to present ourselves to the world. Another thing that we start to do when we're confused or we're unhappy, we start to rely on material items to make us feel better. So maybe we hope that, well, if I take this trip here, or if I lose this weight, or if I'm invited to this event, then I will feel better. Then I will feel like I'm doing my purpose. Maybe then I'll feel right within myself. So again, we're relying so heavily on things that are not internal, but external. So right now, I want you to just take one moment, just where you're sitting as you are, and I just want to think about your day today. Think about how your morning started off, how your day progressed throughout, what this afternoon was like for you, perhaps it's still afternoon where you are in the world right now, and just think about what led you up to this moment, where you're sitting. And I want you to think about a thought that you had throughout the day where something happened, and maybe you did something that you should do as opposed to something that you wanted to do. So just take a moment to think about your day and think about that moment where maybe you did something where you perhaps did a should instead of a want. Okay, great. So I'm assuming everyone had that moment throughout the day where maybe something didn't go quite the way they wanted to, or maybe they did something that they felt like they were doing it just because they were supposed to, and in the end it didn't really work out the way they wanted to. Maybe it left them upset. Maybe nothing happened at all. But maybe you just noticed that something wasn't quite the way that you wanted it to be throughout your day. So notice how it made you feel at the time, and notice how you feel about it now. What was the turnout that you originally wanted with this circumstance that happened where you did a should instead of a want? Or is it still too soon to tell? And if that's the case, that's something maybe you should think about a little bit more. If it comes up again later tonight or maybe tomorrow or at the end of this week, or it couldn't show up again until maybe another month from now. But if that case, think about this moment and think about that moment where you did what you should do. And when it comes up again, think about how it would be different if you did what you wanted to do. So throughout the rest of the show, we're going to talk more about the ways that you can just make the choices that you want in your life without having to feel guilty or indecisive. We'll also cover how the opinions of others hold you back from not only being satisfied, but also from manifesting your own big desires and goals in life. And lastly, we'll talk about our own internal blocks that stop us from moving ahead and getting to where we want to be on our own. And also throughout the show, again, there's a reminder of our chat room. You just need to have Flash in order to utilize it, and it is an anonymous service. You can say whatever you want, and I have no way of knowing at all. So please, feel free. Please censor yourself, but again, feel free. go out there and say what you want to say. Also, throughout the show, I welcome you to call in. I will prompt you at certain points throughout the show. The phone number to call in is 646-716-9397. And when I prompt, I do see we have a couple callers actually on right now. So when I give the prompt for a caller, you're going to hit number one, and that will alert me that you're ready to talk. So just wait. So hang tight if you're on the line right now. I will open up the line shortly, and you're just going to listen to my prompt and dial one at that time. Again, if you just want to listen via your phone and you don't want to chat, that's okay too. Just don't hit one when I say to. Again, that number is 646-716-9397. And throughout the show, too, I welcome you to join me on Twitter. My handle is New You City Coach, and I would love to hear anything that you pick up along the show, if you want to spread the word to other people that follow you on Twitter. And I would love for you to use the hashtag NYCChat. Again, hashtag NYCChat. So on that note, let's get started with the show. One other thing I do want to throw out there is a little bit of a disclaimer. Now, the title of the show is What Other People Think of You is None of Your Business. And there's also going to be a lot of focus on times when you should not take advice from other people, when the opinions of others do not affect you, or when the judgments of other people just aren't warranted and you really should just turn your back. Now, I'm not saying that that's how you always should live your life. I'm not saying that you should seclude yourself or stay isolated from everyone or believe that what anyone from anything that someone says to you is not true, but understand the times when somebody is giving you advice out of love, and if they're giving it to you in a way that they want you to be your best self, or notice that it's coming from a different area, or just notice the times where, you know what, this really isn't for me. So again, we're going to explore all these concepts further, but I do want to note that sometimes it is valid to seek advice from other people, and I welcome it at times. But there are also times where it is not welcomed, and we need to learn how to tap into our own resources and start answering our own questions ourselves. Okay, so first note of the evening. How common is it for us to think about other people talking about us? How often do we think that someone is talking about us? We think about it all the time, actually. We think about, hey, is our coworker talking to our other coworker about how we messed up that one report for our boss? Are they talking about how you always seem to do it, or that they told you that you needed to do this one formula in Excel and you didn't do it and they never listened to you and they are just going on and on and on? Or maybe your other friend is talking to your close girlfriend about what your boyfriend said at the last happy hour, and they can't believe that he can't filter himself, and every time we take him out anywhere, he always has to say something or make some snide remark and just doesn't seem to ever learn. There's always all these stories that go on in our heads, and we're always wondering, is that person thinking about me? And honestly, why do we have to be so paranoid about this all the time? Why does it really matter? Why do we waste so much anxiety and so much stress on this story that we play in our mind that we don't even know if it's true or not? And a lot of times, think about it, when these stories start to appear in our minds, we start to drag other people into it as well. And the drama just seems to unfold. I mean, we all know the drill. How big do these stories become when, again, we don't even know if there was really a foundation from it at all, if anyone was even really talking about us at all? And if they were, again, why does it really matter if we weren't there and we weren't able to witness what was going on? Why are we spending all of our energy wondering what happened? And it makes me wonder, is it because we're just guilty? Is it because what these other people are saying about us, we actually know it to be true, and that's uncomfortable, and we can't sit with that? We don't feel confident enough in who we are with ourselves, so in turn, there's this weird guilt factor that arises. There's this, like, suspicion, because you know people have to be talking about this because you're feeling it yourself. It's almost like we know it to be true because we really do have something to hide. And maybe we don't really want to admit that to ourselves, but it's there and it's lingering. And maybe this idea that other people are talking about us is our way of kind of masking how we really feel. So, like, for instance, for me, I used to struggle with my eating, with my weight. I had definitely an emotional addiction to food. I would go to it for my comfort. I would go to it just because simply I think I was addicted to sugar in some ways, and I looked at it for comfort, or I just really was impulsive and couldn't say no. So So a lot of you may work in an office and you know there's that break room and you know that there is birthday cake and special occasions and, you know, breakfasts, meetings happen and there's leftover food and things come up. So there's always something going on in the break room. There's some kind of food, if you will, that's lingering there. So my thing that I used to do would be kind of like to go in and, like, when I knew no one else was around, to, like, sneak in there and get, like, you know, an extra donut or, like, an extra cookie, like, more so than the average person would eat. But I would also make sure that no one saw it. So I would craft it in certain ways. I'm being very honest here. I would, like, you know, put, like, a napkin over it or, like, hold it in a certain light so that no one would actually see what I was doing. Now, if someone really saw me take an extra cookie, would they really care? Probably not. And if they did, again, what does that matter to me? Nothing. But the reason why it affected me was because I, in turn, was upset that I was taking that extra cookie or that I was cutting corners to do something that, in my mind, I knew wasn't right or I knew wasn't really good for me at that time, but I was doing it anyway. So it's that whole idea of feeling guilty because you have something to hide. And a lot of times when we think people are talking about us, it's because of that reason. It's just kind of another way to confirm that what we're doing is upsetting us in some way, and it's honestly harshly true. A lot of times, too, we get upset when other people are talking about us because we're just unhappy ourselves. And if we're not happy or comfortable, it's much easier to be picked on by other people. It's much easier to think that other people are talking about us and conditioning this unhappiness that we're feeling inside. It's almost like we want other people to confirm that for us. We want them to kind of confirm the fact that, yeah, our life isn't so great, or yeah, we do this wrong, or we do that wrong. It's like we're like nosy when it comes to ourselves. If we want to know what other people are saying about us because we secretly want to know if they know how we're really feeling. You know, it's one of those, like, just think about one of those times you've got caught up in one of the, you know, a drama fest. And drama, what happens? Like attracts like. So in that sense, it just keeps feeding on itself. The more drama you give something, the more drama it's going to want in return. So it's just going to keep growing and growing. And again, that's where we start to drag other people into it. And, you know, honestly, I realize that we don't do this on purpose. We don't want to be this way. But that's why I'm talking about this. I want to start bringing acknowledgement to what we do, what we talk about, and the way that gossip can spread in a way that's harmful for us, and where it really comes from. And also, again, with that whole concept of not, or almost the idea of other people kind of catching on that we're not happy, it's almost like we're too scared to find out what it would be like to be happy. We almost find safety in our unhappiness. We find safety in the drama. We find safety in people just kind of, you know, letting us be miserable and be like, oh, well, that's how she is, or, you know, she's doing this wrong or that wrong. It's almost easier sometimes, and it's almost safer to be in this little bubble of what I was just talking about, as opposed to maybe ignoring it all or growing it or finding a way to be confident and happy. Because sometimes it's scarier to see what's on the other side than to just stay where we are. Or we might feel sometimes that we don't deserve things that are too good to be true. You know, when things are going really great for us, why do we always say, oh, I have to stop and pinch myself, or, oh, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop? We're always just waiting for something to go wrong, and that's a lot of our belief system, that we're not worth good things, that we don't deserve happiness, that we don't deserve to create a full and abundant life. So here's the other thing with the gossip and the drama and the people talking about us and our worry and our anxiety that's wrapped up into it all. And I say this a lot because it's so, so true. And that's, most of this is in your head. Most of this is your ego talking, then the other people, then the family, then the friends, then the coworker, then the guy across the bar that you thought, you know, you made a complete fool of yourself to. It's all your ego. And your ego, it desperately wants an identity. Your ego doesn't just like to chill and sit as it is. It wants to find itself. It wants to identify itself. And so it'll look for society to feed it, to make it grow, to make it bigger, to give itself a name. And so before you know it, you have this ego within you that's a whole other person that needs to constantly feed this drama and this gossip that we talk about. And so because of that, it's all these ideas and these notions in our head that, again, may or may not be true. We're not really sure, but it's making us go a little bit bananas. So another thing we need to notice, too, in addition to our own ego that's maybe creating some of the story that we think people are talking about us, is for when the moments happen where people actually are talking about us. Yes, it does happen. We all talk about other people, and there are times where people have talked about you. But a lot of times, it really doesn't have anything to do with you, per se. Most of the time they do this, it's based off of their own issues, their own insecurities. So when they're talking about, quote-unquote, you, it's not really you. It's just them talking about their own insecurities, and it's their own ignorance or secret envy that they're feeling and their misery that's really creating all this conversation, and you just happen to be the scapegoat. So it's not really personal, and it's not really anything to do with you. It's just other people's fears, their jealousy, maybe their boredom that's conditioning this more so than the actual act that made them want to talk about you to begin with. Another thing to think about is, say you are getting dinner with a friend, or you're on the subway, or there's some kind of, you're with another person, there's lag time. We get really uncomfortable when there's silence. We get really uncomfortable when there's this dead space between you and another person, or you and another group, perhaps. Think about an elevator. What do people want to do? They have to talk about the weather or sports or some big event that's going on, because we can't just all stand there in a space together. It's awkward. It's weird. And we feel like we have to fill a space. So naturally, gossip is an awesome way to fill space. So we tend to make up things or exaggerate things further than maybe they really were to begin with, just so we can create some excitement and some liveliness and something to talk about. So again, when people talk about you, it's oftentimes not always personal, because it may have nothing to do with you. It may be more about them. It may be the fact that they are just jealous of you. Or it just may be that they're just trying to fill the space because they can't think of anything better to talk about. And so, unfortunately, you get to be the star of the show, which, hey, I think sometimes some news is better than no news. So why not? And that brings me to a quote that I found. It's actually anonymous, but I found it a couple weeks ago when I was trying to think about what I wanted tonight's show to be. So, and it just kind of encouraged me further to talk about this subject matter. And the quote is, "The way people treat you is a statement about who they are as a human being. It's not a statement about you." Again, the way people treat you is a statement about who they are as a human being. It's not a statement about you. So again, that just reaffirms more so about what I had just been talking about. And lastly, to go back to the whole idea of why we go so crazy when we think other people are thinking about us, it's just that we naturally exaggerate in our heads. We tend to go off the deep end with this. You know, like, for example, say you have to cancel dinner on a friend, and it's the second time you've done it in a month. And you had to cancel for legit reasons. Perhaps a meeting came up at work that you didn't expect. Your dog got sick and you had to take it to the vet. Both very legit reasons why you may have to cancel a dinner with a friend, and clearly out of your control. But instead, we think that then naturally the friend is bad-mouthing you to your other friends, that you're considered now as unreliable, you'll never be able to be asked out to dinner again, you're doomed, you're socially inadequate now, before you know it, every Friday night you're going to be home alone, nobody's going to want to date you, your social life is over as you know it. And again, before you know it, we get into these huge exaggeratory stories when maybe it just is what it is. Sure, could your friend be upset that you canceled again for the second time? Absolutely. But if you go about it in a way where you say, hey, you know, I can't believe it. My dog just threw up all over the carpet. It's everywhere. I have to take it to the vet. Like, this is, you know, I think he's been coming down with something and I really need to have it checked out. I am so sorry. I understand this is the second time that I've canceled on you. Let me make it up to you. The next time we do dinner, it's on me. Or something really sincere. And that way, you know that you can feel confident that you were truly apologetic and you handled the situation the best you could. And if the friend from there does want to badmouth you or say something negative, that's on them. You're not in it anymore. And if that's the kind of person that they're going to be when you treat them that way, then maybe that's not someone you want in your circle to begin with. Again, just something to take note of. Also, we have to remember, when we are going into someone else's brain and we're trying to mind read what they're saying about us or what they're thinking about us, we have to realize we don't know what we're getting ourselves into. Somebody else's brain is really, really unknown territory. We're not mind readers. So really, when we're thinking about what is going on in someone else's head, we have no idea. So what we're thinking about is just the meaning that we're giving it. Whatever it is that we think is going on in their mind is just what we're attaching our own thoughts to. So it's no longer really their story anymore. Now it's just ours. So we're the author of where this is going. And in that, there is some power in a good way because we can decide what that person is thinking about us on our own terms. We can decide, you know, if we want to be the victim, if we're going to be the victor, if we're just going to let go. It's really all up to us. And again, I need to reiterate, people may not be thinking about you when they think they are. A lot of times people are selfish. They're going to think about themselves. They're going to think about, you know, what they want for dinner. They're going to think about what they want to watch on TV when they get home at night, you know. And if they do talk about you, it's probably very short-lived, and they move on. They're not spending all night thinking about you. They're not losing sleep over you. I'm sorry. I hate to break it to you, but they're not. So you shouldn't be doing the same thing. So this brings us into then, where does all this come from? Why do we care so much about what other people think? Why do we worry so much? What is this need that we have to know what other people are thinking about us and to feel like we have to act and be a certain way in order to get approval in our society? And the first reason, and these are both just my beliefs and what I've come to find that I wanted to share with you, and I think the number one reason is the idea that change is hard. And what I mean by that is we have so many choices that we have to make in our life. Life is naturally changing. It's naturally progressing. But sometimes it can be scary to do that. Think about a major life decision that you've had. Maybe you've changed, you need to change a job recently, or you're just stuck in your job and you know you want something different and you know that things could be better if you only changed your job. But what stops us? And that's that fear of change, that fear of being uncomfortable for a little bit, of having to put yourself out there, of having to try something new, and also maybe trying something new and maybe it not working out, maybe having to go back to square one. You know, a lot of times we can be really uncomfortable with something, but at least it's routine and it's, you know, with something we can settle into, and that feels really safe. And so then because of that, we stay stuck. So instead of looking for a change within ourselves and maybe trying to figure out some kind of solution on our own, we stop looking inward and we go outward instead. And that's where things start to get a little bit complicated. We think that it's a lot easier to ask someone else what we should do. And it holds some relevance sometimes, and sometimes it works, but it's that whole idea that change is hard. Well, if that person did it, then they should tell me what to do, and it will work for me too. And again, yeah, maybe it will, and that's awesome, but maybe it won't. So we can't rely so heavily on what someone else does because, again, it goes back to the idea of we don't really know what their life is like. We don't really know what things are like for them behind the scenes. We only have our own opinions and our own beliefs, and they may or may not be true. So when we put so much weight on what that other person does and how it can affect us, it doesn't always work out. And then what happens is if we become so dependent on this idea of, well, what they did work, we keep trying it, and it creates some kind of misalignment, things just get screwed up again. We are then trying to please the person who gave us the advice in the first place. We think now maybe we realize, hey, this person told me to try this out. Tried it. It didn't really work, but they really want me to do it, and they really think it's what's best for me. So I'm going to keep trying, even though, again, it doesn't really feel right. And then we also, oh, it looks like we're getting one moment. I just want to check something we got here. Okay, great. So, sorry, I got a communication really quick, but I wanted to make sure I was still being heard, which it seems like I am, which I'm very happy about. Okay, so back to the idea of wanting to please others based on a belief that they have on us. A lot of times we may feel guilty if we don't go about things a certain way in the advice that they had given us, or we may start to feel resentful because we're mad now that we took their advice and we think we have to follow it through, and it turns out it wasn't really what we wanted, or it really wasn't going to be working out for us. Another thing that we may do is get really overwhelmed and it's just too hard and it's just, you know, trying to keep up with what everyone thinks we should do is just way too much. We get so overwhelmed. We're like, forget this. I'm not even changing anymore. I thought maybe it was a good idea. I asked all these people. They gave me all their opinions. I think it's too much for me to handle. And then we just give up and we're right back to where we started again. We're stuck. We're back in that routine again. We're waking up once again Monday morning, dreading going into work, and nothing has changed. And so on that note, I want to say, this is the beauty of life coaching. So with life coaching, the great thing is when I work with a client or most coaches in general, we figure out what the change is that you want. We understand that change is hard. We understand that change is scary. But we also understand that if you have that willingness to change, if you know that you want something to be different in your life, it can happen, and you have all the answers within you. It's our role to just get those answers out of you. So we take from where you are now, we figure out where you want to get, and then we hold you accountable along the way to get you there. And that's one of the great things about coaching is because it's a no-judgment zone. We're able to work with you step by step and really get you an inward answer and an inward solution so that you can feel really excited about the change and not see it as being so scary, but seeing it as a way to really get you forward and to where you really want to be. Okay, and so the second thing that I think is really great is I think the second thing that I think a lot of our misjudgments in our head or feeling that people are, their opinions are just weighing so heavily on us comes from the idea of this appearance that we have to uphold. Think about how much money we spend on looking good. How much do you spend on an average day time-wise getting ready in the morning, putting focus into what you're going to wear, how you're going to do your hair, your makeup, grooming, just how even you're going to show up to work. Are you going to show up in a really old car? Are you going to show up on the bus? Are you going to show up in your nice, new, shiny BMW? What are all these things that we put into our appearance and into looking a certain way and being almost viewed as this pristine shell or this avatar of what we want to be? A lot of what our society does is we put so much of success based on our outer beauty. And we think that if we can kind of fool the world into how we look on the outside or how we live or how, you know, our home looks or all these certain things, that we're happy. You know, if we can convince society that we're happy, then we must be happy inside, right? We totally must have it all together if we're able to let everyone else think that. And that's not always the case. You know, it really just kind of messes with us because we get a false sense of who we are. We're not looking anymore on what we internally want, what really from that gut feeling makes us happy. That feeling is kind of gone because now we're looking on the outer to find us perfection. And we think that once we land that perfection, the judgments will stop and we'll start thriving and that's when we'll start living. But how many people do you know that keep buying more and more or keep doing, you know, think about plastic surgery. How one operation isn't enough. They just need one more. Or people that are trying to lose weight, you know, 10 pounds wasn't enough. This is another 5 more. We're always searching for our happiness through these material or these outer things. And for some reason, we're not getting there. And it makes me wonder why. And again, why are we putting so much emphasis on these things? Because do we think that therefore once we land a certain image-based, if you will, or create this so-called avatar in our minds, once we actually show that to the world, they'll stop judging us, they'll stop talking about us, and then we'll feel really good about ourselves and we'll know that we're where we're supposed to be and we're living our path and we're being our true selves. And that's not necessarily true because here's the thing. Even if you accumulate all the wealth in the world and you're the most beautiful person in the world, people are still going to talk about you. Think about celebrities. How much do we gossip about them more than anybody else? So it's kind of an interesting conundrum, if you will, the fact that we think obtaining all this beauty and material goods brings us happiness and will stop the judgments, when actually it's reversed and it fuels people to judge us and talk badly about us more so. So that's just something to think about. Now, again, am I saying that you should not put any time into your appearance, that you should not want a nice home, that you shouldn't want a nice car, that you shouldn't take the care that you need into grooming yourself, or that it's not nice to treat yourself to certain things? Absolutely not, because I myself will say I am all for those things to a certain extent. It's the noticing when things go beyond just the nice home. Why, you know, again, should you have a nice home? Absolutely. Should you have a nice car that you should be able to drive to work in? Sure. If you can afford it and you feel good about it and it's something just nice to have, I think that's wonderful. And I say go for it. But when you start to look to these things for a sense of emotional pleasure, if you will, that's where it starts to get a little bit shady, if you will. So when you're looking in the mirror and you're thinking, I'm not pretty enough, I need to buy more lipstick, that's when you need to take a step back and say, whoa, whoa, whoa. Whereas instead being like, I love how this lipstick looks on me. It complements my cheekbones. I feel really great, like, you know, and go from there. So there's a little bit of a difference between the two. So there's a difference between buying things in hopes that you'll be happy or having things because you're happy that just kind of amplify your life as it is. And you know what? If you didn't have them, you would be okay with that too. Okay, so we're going to take a moment to plug the other shows here on the Life Coach Radio Network. So there is other shows besides my own, New York City Chat, that we have. We have over 25 life coaches on our radio network here on Blog Talk Radio, which is really, really exciting. All amazing, amazing coaches with all unique stories and topics to tell. And our next show is we have one every, at least one or two a day, and the next one is tomorrow. Wednesday, August 7th at 8 p.m., and it's called Eastern Time, and it's called Purposeful Conversations, Roads to Forgiveness. A thought leader once said that forgiveness is giving up the hope that the past could have been any different. Again, a thought leader once said that forgiveness is giving up the hope that the past could have been any different. Jose Albino will speak to Laura Soto and Ernesto Hernandez, both at different stages of their forgiveness continuum, on what it has taken and what it is taking place to try to make peace with their relationship and, by extension, themselves. It basically will discuss the power of forgiveness and how we can use that to tap into our authentic self. And the next show that I want to talk about is our one on Thursday, August 8th at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and that's Gaining Perspective with Andrea Ruckelman. And Andrea is a good friend of mine. We have gotten to know each other through the Life Coach Radio Network back when it started in May, and she is truly great. I had the opportunity to meet her last week, actually, and we were able to film some videos together, and she is truly, truly a passionate, wonderful coach, and especially in the career corporate world, highly recommend her. And her show on Thursday is going to go into the idea of how life too often we see things in one way, and we don't realize that we wear these blinders until someone else paints a new picture for us. So again, it's that idea of gaining perspective through looking at something in a different way. And then on Friday, August 9th, we have a show at noon Eastern Standard Time, Use the Rules of Improv to Improve Your Life, and that's with Carrie Spaulding. She's, again, another amazing coach. I actually trained with her at IPAC. Oh, man, I guess it's over a year and a half ago at this point, which is pretty wild. So she's an amazing coach, and I actually have seen her do improv live in Philadelphia, and she's going to now take those concepts that she's learned in improv, apply it to her coaching practice, and then show you how you can apply it into your life, in your relationships, in your career, and so much more. So, again, I encourage you to check out those shows, as well as any others that we have on the Life Coach Radio Network. You can find it the same way you found my show on Blog Talk Radio Network. All right. So next we're going to talk about the what I call the Gales, and that's something that many coaches have learned throughout the process of becoming a coach. And what Gales are, per se, are the internal blocks that we go through in our lives. It's a lot of times where these judgments and these fears of other people talking about us, where they stem from. it kind of explores the idea of what gives other people the right to talk about us and what gives us the right to talk about other people. It really just explores that idea of where everything stems from. And the first scale, if you will, and this kind of breaks it down by letter. So A is for assumption. An assumption, essentially, is because it's happened before, it will happen again. So basically, it's a time where you got burned, i.e. a unreliable friend, maybe someone was supposed to pick you up at the airport and they never did, so therefore you think, now no one will ever pick you up from the airport on time because you got burned that one time, it's bound to happen again. So we think a lot of times, well, I'll just have to find a way to do it myself, or people are just unreliable. You can never tell anyone to be anywhere on time because it will never happen. And it's, again, how these judgments are created. And my advice to your assumptions, when they happen in your head, sure, things happen, and you know what, they'll probably happen again, but you can't always believe that. You can't always rely on that. So you just need to shut it down. So the next time you know you need to get picked up from the airport, instead of being like, oh, nobody's going to pick me up, no one's ever reliable, they're going to be a half an hour late, just shut it down. Just shut it down. Find someone that you think is as reliable as they can be that will help you. Be happy that they're willing to help you and pick you up from the airport, and try to find a way to make sure that they do pick you up on time, whether it's setting an alarm, texting them, whatever it is that you need to do to make sure that they're where they need to be for you. And again, be forgiving if things happen in the meantime. The next block that a lot of people go through is interpretation. And these are opinions or judgments that we create or we believe to be true. And our world is made up of perceptions, and all these perceptions that we tend to believe then become our reality. For example, I was talking to someone about this recently, and it goes a lot in lines with what I do in my coaching. I work with a lot of people that move to the city because they want to have that Sex and the City lifestyle. They want to be like Carrie Bradshaw and date lots of different men and, you know, go out every night and have some cocktails and have beautiful fashion parties and everything's fabulous. And then they get here and it's more like the show Girls on HBO, which, if some of you know that show, it's more about girls that move here. They wind up living in Brooklyn. It's after college. They're broke. They can't find a job. Their dating life sucks. Everything's just kind of like niche. So we go from these huge perceptions we have of the city, and then it kind of just falls to the wayside to this other end of the spectrum. So then we kind of just give up. We see that things aren't really the way that we thought they were going to be, so we create this new belief system that we believe to be true. So what I say when you find yourself doing that is explore it and figure out why. Why are you letting yourself just be sabotaged by this? Why, if as soon as something doesn't work out, are you just letting it just be that way and just be like, well, that's how it's always going to be, and just accepting it as true? Why are you letting it stop you? And why aren't you willing to work for it? Why aren't you able to try something new or work a little bit harder or be willing to challenge yourself? Because, yes, there are a lot of setbacks in our lives, and a lot of times it's unavoidable, but I also do believe that what you give off to the world, you do get back in return. So if you're always giving off this negative vibe that things won't work out or things are never the way you thought they were going to be, then you know what? That's probably how things are going to go down. But if you do the reverse and understand that, yeah, there are things that happen that we can't control, but you're going to do your damn best to overcome them or to stay positive or to keep working at it, then I believe that you will get more positive things back to you, and you will get more of the things that you truly wanted in the first place into your life. The next scale we're going to talk about is L, limiting belief. And what a limiting belief is something you accept about life that holds you back in some way. So basically, they're the excuses that we make. They're, you know, the things that we say like, oh, well, no diet ever works for me. I'm just always going to be overweight. Or no guy ever calls me back after the third date. I'm always going to be single. It's excuses that we make. And so next time you notice yourself making an excuse like this, challenge it. Why? Why does it always have to be that way? Why do we always have to just say, like, yeah, this is how it's just going to be for me? I say, how true is that really? Whenever I have a client come to me and they tell me a limiting belief that they have, I challenge them and I say exactly that. How true is that really? Give me one example of how this is 100% true and there is no way that no other guy on earth will ever call you back after the third date. And most of the time, people realize that they have been exaggerating, and it's a little bit more of just a easy thing to say than anything else. So you know, another thing that people love to say too about like their careers. Oh, well, I miss my calling. I'm just stuck in this position now, or I'm just stuck in this career. I should have went to college for this and I didn't. So therefore I'm never going to get a career, you know, in teaching like I wanted to. Again, how true is that really? You can go back to school. You can find a new career if you really want to. It's more about your drive and your willingness than anything else. So the next time you notice yourself making excuses, drop it. Drop the judgments, drop these beliefs that you have around it, and start to shift your perspective in another way. Shift your mindset into a way that's going to get you the results that you really want. Remember, you're in control of these beliefs, nobody else. And don't worry about changing anyone else's beliefs. A lot of times, too, this goes back to the whole concept of our show, what other people think. A lot of times we try to change what other people think. So maybe someone may come at you and say, you know what, you want to be a teacher, that's great, but you already went to law school per se. You're already putting your time. You already paid your dues. Therefore, you're pretty much done. I'm sorry, you missed your calling, but it's out of there. Don't try to change their beliefs. That's fine. That's on them. In the meantime, you do what works best for you. Realize like the own power that you have. I was talking recently about the idea of us being lighthouses. A lot of times we think that we have to kind of preach and say all these things to make others believe what we believe. Well, you know what? If you just embody it and you live the life that you truly believe without having to preach it, the right people will be naturally attracted to you. The right people will, their ships will come into your lighthouse, so to speak. So you don't have to worry so much about convincing everyone else. Instead, just be who you are. And again, explore the idea of why do you have to try to convince everyone? Is it because you're so insecure about this idea, you want everyone else to be on board before you're able to do it yourself? Or is it something that you can do on your own? And in due time, other people will follow up and they will catch up to you. And if they don't, that's okay too. And the last scale we're going to talk about is the idea of a gremlin. And this is the trickiest one. This is really where we get really deep-rooted and deep-seated in where all of our judgments come from, where our opinions of others come from, why we beat ourselves up so much. And what this gremlin is our own inner critic. It's the biggest powerhouse of judgment. It's this other person that's in your head that just kind of always has something to say or always knows how to just kind of throw in that snide remark or put you down in some way or discourage you. Maybe it's that kind of inner mean girl, if you will. So what I encourage you to do is think about this gremlin that's going on in your head, because I'm sure you have one. I know I have one. I know most of you I talk to that we've explored this exercise with has one somewhere, and they're lingering. So I say acknowledge it and fight it, combat it. One thing you can do is name it. For me, I have, and again, I have no idea where this came from or why this is my gremlin, but I don't even know if these are still in the air, but Mucinex, that little like green goblin mucusy guy, he has a commercial, he wears a little hat, and he has like a suitcase, and he's basically like moving into your sinuses and kind of setting up camp there, and he's all negative and ugly and whatnot. Well, that's my gremlin, if you will. He kind of is the guy who like picked up shop and decided to move into my brain and be the one to discourage me or knock me down or tell me when I do something wrong or I'm not pretty enough or I'm not good enough or I can't do that or I'm not capable. Always the one to kind of put you down when you need encouragement. So that's my little gremlin, the Mucinex man. And, you know, we've talked out a thing or two, and he's pretty much non-existent most of the time. So he does creep up every now and then, especially during allergy season, I will say. But anyway, I say just have fun with this whole concept of the gremlin, because they are hard and they are severe and they really can weigh us down and they can be really emotional because they are so heavily linked to what we believe our capability is and our capacity for our life and what we're able to do. So by being able to identify that this person, this other voice in your head, isn't you, it's somebody completely else, give it a name, call it, you know, whatever you want. You can name it a color, you can name it an object, you know, whatever it is. Say you want to name it, you know, like Dave, I don't know. You know, talk to the voice and say, hey, Dave, you know, you're wrong. I am good enough. And I am smart enough to do this, and I'm going to. So being able to challenge it instead of and making it a separate part from who you are makes it more manageable and makes it more easy to combat the negativity and the own judgments and the way that we beat ourselves up so heavily, and they really can destroy us in a way. So again, have fun with it. Acknowledge what that other voice is and learn how to coexist with it in a way that you can function, and it's not going to let you be judgmental of yourself or then in turn be judgmental of others, because in turn that inner voice, that inner critic, it likes to judge other people too because it makes itself feel even better. It goes back to that concept you were saying earlier about how the ego loves to be fed. It loves to have an identity. It loves to feel good about itself. And oftentimes that encourages a lot of negativity. So it's just learning how to get over those fears that we're manifesting in our minds through, you know, not feeding the gremlin anymore and not feeding it with these projections that we have that act as its fuel. So we're going to take a moment now to, I see we have a couple callers. If any of the callers do want to talk, call in, leave a comment, talk about something that's going on, hit one now, and that'll prompt me to let you know that you do have a question. And if so, we will open up the line for you. You go ahead and hit one for me on your phone or keyboard. Okay, do we have a caller?
Hello?
Hello, we have a caller?
Yes, my name is Joel. Can you hear me?
Hi, how are you? Yes, I can hear you. Welcome.
My question is this. I've been listening to everything you've been saying about appearance and how people talk behind your back. And I guess let me just briefly tell you my dilemma. I'm a 40-something-year-old man, recently divorced, and unfortunately, due to the court systems, I lost everything and now have to live with my mother. I work at the nearby ShopRite, and my question is this. I'm having a difficult time with my coworkers because I believe they're talking behind my back, and also the dating. I don't have a car. When somebody picks me up on a date, it's very difficult to portray myself. Am I just lacking confidence?
Okay, yeah. So let's break this down a little bit. So basically, you've been through a couple of hardships in your life, and you're trying to pick up the kind of things back together as you need to, but you need to figure out the steps that you want to take to kind of just stop caring about what other people's judgments are so you can kind of get your life back in order the way you say.
Yes, and I'm having a very difficult time because listening to you, and by the way, you're very good and very knowledgeable on this subject, but I heard of a lot of what you were saying about me, so I'm trying to figure out the best way because people are talking behind my back at work, and they're kind of laughing at me, and when I'm on a date and I get picked up, it's very difficult to portray why I live where I live and the financial hardship. So I guess I'm just missing self-esteem, and I'm just trying to figure out the best way to get that.
For sure. And I think, first of all, I think it's great that you're acknowledging what you believe your biggest issue is, and that seems to be the self-esteem aspect. So in that sense, I say that maybe try reversing the situation. Start thinking a little bit more about why this matters so much and why this bothers you so much, and start putting a positive spin on things. Start thinking more about not where you're lacking in your life, not the fact that you have to work at a grocery store, that you have to be picked up for dates per se, but start thinking about the fact that, wow, I have a job right now. I have a source of income. And not only that, I'm going on dates, which is pretty awesome. I think a lot of people that have been newly divorced can't really say that they're able to do these things. So instead of maybe focusing so much on the areas in your life where you're lacking, start to see the good parts that you have, the ability to still make a source of income, the ability to still go on dates, and realize that maybe these situational ideas that you have in your head are maybe just in your head, and maybe the other person isn't thinking about it as heavily as you. And also, and I guess in regards to your coworkers and, you know, that kind of drama that they can spread isn't always welcome or isn't always pleasant. However, again, it's just disassociating yourself from that energy and realizing that has nothing to do with you. That's not an aspect of your life that you need to embody. You know, it goes back to the idea, if you listen to past shows, about energy vampires, that idea that, you know what, I don't need that energy in my life. If they want to talk, let them talk. That's their issue. They clearly have their own things that they have to deal with, and it really has nothing to do with me. And start to learn about your own positive things that you have going on in your life, and also realize how much you've gone through and how much, you know, it's okay to fail sometimes. It's okay sometimes to look like maybe you're not in a position where you thought you were going to be or you wanted to be. But that's just part of the human experience. And it would be wrong to think that your life could just be perfect, that, you know, it is okay to fail sometimes. It's all the balance of life. And allowing that freedom to be who you are is how you're going to grow and how you're going to start to shift things to work in your favor and become stronger. So, again, just realize that there are no mistakes in life. Just keep doing what you're doing and not letting the voices or the opinions or the words of others set you back, and realize that you do have a lot of good things going on. Does that help in any way?
Oh, definitely. And everything you said over the last hours made me more confident in hearing you now. Now, how often is this radio show? Is this every week or every 2 weeks?
Well, great. No, I'm actually glad that you just said that. So, first of all, thank you very much for calling in. I really appreciated your questions, and feel free to connect with me outside of the show to talk further. And from there, we're kind of closing in on the end of the hour, so I'm going to talk a little bit more about when my show is on, my next upcoming show, and how you can get in contact with me. Okay. So great. So thank you so much for that. Again, we are wrapping up on the hour, and my show is on the air, New York City Chat, every first and third Tuesday of the month. So my next show is going to be on August 20th at 8 p.m., and the subject matter for that show is going to be about affirmations. So we're going to talk a little bit about how you can visualize what you want for your life and how you can make that manifest in and of itself. So that will be our subject matter for August 20th at 8 p.m., Tuesday again, on Blog Talk Radio. And as far as my contact information, you can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/NewUCityCoach. My Twitter handle is NewUCityCoach. Or you can follow me on my blog at newucitycoaching.wordpress.com. And by the end of the month, my website will be launched. In the meantime, you can reach out to me via my blog or email me directly at Danielle, D-A-N-I-E-L-L-E, at daniellematerio.com. Or again, reach out to me on Facebook, on Twitter. I'm also on LinkedIn. You know, with the world of social media, I'm sure you are bound to find me somewhere, and I welcome you to, and I would love to talk to you more about either setting up coaching services. I provide complimentary first sessions to see how we work together, how I can show you what the coaching process is like, or any other way that I can either help you or we can get to know each other further. And again, you know, always remember that we have other great shows and life coaches here on the Life Coach Radio Network. So when my show is not on the air, I encourage you to listen to another one for hopefully some more great feedback or insight that can help you get further along in your life to where you want to be. And I want to give one last shout out. We are in the Leo season right now. It's actually my birthday on Friday, and today is a new moon. It's August 6th. And anyone that is, when you are basically in your season, your sign, if you will, and there is a new moon, you're supposed to give some kind of wish or some kind of intention. So I invite any other Leos tonight that are listening to give a shout out when you see the moon of something that you want to manifest in the upcoming year ahead. So, and happy birthday to you all as well. So again, that's all we have for tonight on the New UC Chat. I had so much fun this hour talking about what other people think of you and how it's clearly none of your business. And so just remember that life will go on with or without you, and people are going to talk about you. I promise you they will. Remember, that's a reflection on them, not you. And that's why it's up to you to move beyond past regrets, beyond the worry, and to start to see your dreams as they are, and make sure that you see them in a way that they can be your reality. So just stay determined. Don't veer off when someone else brings you down. Keep people in your support system that will help you get to your ultimate truth. And remember, what other people think of you is none of your business. Thank you so much, and I will talk to you soon. Have a great night.